This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, welcome. Carm Capriotto here, and join me each week for insights from my guest host and an industry first, a live virtual shop tour. Hey, take the Automotive Trivia Challenge, catch up on our weekly content, and as always, know that you'll learn just one thing. Hey, the video version of the show is on my YouTube channel and the Aftermarket Weekly page on remarkableresults.biz. And we love to get together and not only bring you some great, wise automotive aftermarket acumen, but talk about what's going on with me. You're coming to from the dormant OE Fix studio. With me today is Scott Brown from Cardinal Shell, Springfield, Virginia. The other Scott Brown, the Scott Brown from the East Coast. Because if you go to my website and talk in Scott Brown, you're going to find multiple Scott Browns. Amazing how that works. And good to have you here, Scott.
Hi, Carm. Thanks for inviting me back onto the show.
Good, man. Wow, you were with me last Friday, and so glad to have you here. You're going to talk about dedicated high-tech repairs. I can't wait for you to talk about that. And also, our virtual shop tour is with Aiden McDonald from McDonald's ATS. And that's in Livingston, Montana. Hello, Aiden.
How you doing, Carm? Thanks for having me on.
Great, man. We're going to show a picture now of what your place, we're going to go inside of this place. Big place. Wow. Wow. Transmission system specialists. And I know as you were telling me that you do all kinds of things. How's business, guys?
Excellent.
Yeah, this is a great time to be a repair shop owner.
It is, isn't it?
Without any doubt. Yeah.
Let me go back and do a little, praise or homage to both of my guests. Scott was with me just this past Friday. And thank you so much for that, Scott. It was a brilliant episode, Second in Command, a CEO's perspective. And you were on with Craig Noel. And that comes out this Thursday as a podcast. And back in, God, when was it? I'm trying to remember, Aiden, that you were on my panel and we did a live show. And I think, what was it? Was that May sometime?
Yeah.
Why don't I remember?
Right in the thick of COVID.
Yeah. Well, no, we were just coming out and we were at the ATI Super Conference and we did this live panel.
Oh, you're talking, yes, the last one. Yes.
Yeah. My biggest mistakes. That was just so cool. So the agenda for today, everyone, is going to be this new tech repair from Scott. We're going to, of course, do the virtual shop tour. I have a great trivia question. And, of course, you'll get the weekly update as to what's going on. And, oh, by the way, here is the trivia for you all. This is a lengthy one. Harley Earl designed the LaSalle in 1927, the beginning of a trend toward lower and wider cars. Now, as head of GM's styling department, he invented the tail fin. And he designed which iconic car? This is so interesting. This is so darn interesting. I can't wait to tell you all about it, guys. And here's a great word from Dorman. Dorman consistently is looking for improved solutions to help save time and money for those who are performing the repairs. Dorman's all-in-one loaded backing plate solution does just that. With zero assembly required, you can now stop disassembling multiple pieces to make backing plate and e-brake repairs. Dorman's loaded backing plates deliver a complete solution. This assembly replaced all the failure-prone components by combining parking brake shoes and hardware onto the backing plate. The pre-mounted parking brake shoes, springs, and clips for a bolt and go solution. Want to know more about Dorman? Well, visit dormanproducts.com/tour. Hey, you'd like to learn more about Dorman's innovations? Visit dormanproducts.com/tour. It was so cool. I was there looking at all these really cool products and all the technology and all, you know, and one of the things that I learned while I was there is that they take any window lift motor and they put 10,000 cycles before they ever release the door in the actual door that it goes in. Now, let's go to my friend Scott Brown and wow, you're talking about Level 5 Solutions. It's a brand new facility of yours, Scott. Love to hear all about it.
Sure. Thanks. Let me just jump right in and tell you a little bit about this technology shop. We opened it last September, pretty much during the height of the fall pandemic. Probably not the best timing, but it did allow us to take our time and to learn the business.
Well, you know, Scott, they call them soft launches, right?
Yeah, it couldn't have been much more soft. I mean, There is no question about that. I opened it with my general manager from the main shop. You know, so I actually, you know, we were fully committed, and I think that's one of the most important things. In our first lesson, that this is nothing like running a regular repair shop. And I'm just going to try to pass along some of the most important lessons that maybe will help out a listener going through the same thing. At level five, we're offering like high-tech solutions to go along with high-tech problems. And we make a promise to the customer that we're going to be their advisor. We're going to act in their best interests. And then we partner with them so that they can offer solutions to their clients. And then all we ask them, hey, let us show us how we can increase their bottom line. Like you mentioned, we're business to business, which is a huge change. It is so peaceful in there. You know, sometimes it's a little peaceful, more peaceful than I like as a shop owner. You know, but what we're trying to do is, you know, we're trying to solve some problems. Our main companies that we deal with are glass companies, collision repair companies, and independent repair shops. And so we're helping them to decrease their cycle times and increase their ARO and really provide them with professional estimates and research. And we do calibrations same day, sometimes while they wait, you know, again, trying to decrease the cycle times, which are very, very expensive and a huge problem in both the glass and in the collision industries. You know, the future of the independent repair shop, it's changing. You know, the rate of change in our industry is at an all-time high, and I think the pace is increasing. And we've got competition from the mega dealerships and the chain stores and the big box stores. And I think, you know, independent repair shops are portion of the automotive aftermarket. By banding together, we can create a list of offerings that can eclipse those of our competition and solve a lot of our most intractable problems. One other way that this happened, there were three shop owners here in Virginia. They created a buying group that's just leveling the playing field and dropping thousands and thousands of dollars to our bottom line just because independent repair shops banding together. And I think the lessons from that also went into play with developing level five. So what challenges do we have? We've got legal issues. We've got recruitment and retention issues, overhead. And I've been told by a lot of people that are smarter than me that our shops are the wrong size and we have the wrong layout to compete over the next decade. They identified the need to scale up our businesses so we can create volume to cover our expenses, that we need 10, 20 bays, maybe with an area specially built for ADOS, and our technicians need specialized programming and calibration techs, and that our teams must have security training and the NASTEF authorizations to go with it. And I disagree. And, you know, and it's okay, one thing to disagree, but we built a business to test out my ideas in the real world. I believe that if the independent repair shops stop trying to treat each other as competition and instead just create a network of connected shops, then we can deliver all the specialties to our clients out of our existing locations. And that's what we do at Level 5. So we partner with collision, glass, and repair shops and deliver the services that, number one, aren't easy, or number two, aren't profitable to provide themselves. You know, we learned right off the bat that ADOS alone isn't a business model. That's what we thought it. We thought it was a business model back in September, but there's just not enough. And it's also very, there may be days that go by with no ADOS at all. You know, so you've got to have other things. So programming, security, you know, things where an independent shop might not have enough business to make it worthwhile for them to invest in the tools and the training and information to move their shops down the learning curve. They can partner with a level five style shop and profitably expand those offerings to their customers without spending a dime. Some offerings are real expensive, like programming or key coding or the 1234YF air conditioning or safety alignments. All those services, it's really, we do all the stuff that we don't want to do in our own shops. That's what level five does. We can also teach and we can license our processes if anyone else wants to do a level five style shop and doesn't really know how. I think it's just a collective mind shift that we need out of the automotive aftermarket shop owners. So here's a couple things that I made some notes to think about. The other offerings besides ADOS We're doing safety alignments, pre and post scans, programming, diagnostics, key coding, the air conditioning. Second thing, you are the only person that's really looking out for yourself. And in this industry, there are a lot of sharks. And I would take any information from any equipment salesman with, I call it a huge scanner size grain of salt. And I would say, you know, prior to buying any equipment, confirm that that equipment is going to allow you to calibrate and program vehicles according to OE standards and procedures. It's hugely important. When an equipment company, they're going to tell you, oh, we're not following the OE standards. We're not following OE procedures, but we'll legally indemnify you. Well, they'll give you $1 million, maybe a couple, $3-4 million worth of indemnity insurance, saying that now you can go ahead and go out on your own and do things the way that we think it should be done. Right now, the current controlling legal case paid out $41 million, which bankrupted a collision repair shop in Texas. And we can talk about it. So everything we do at Level 5, we're trying to limit liability. I don't say we eliminate it because I don't think you, as long as there's lawyers, you can't eliminate all your liability. And the other question is, are you committed to turn your best technician into a high-tech solution? The opportunity cost of not having that guy work on the regular cars, that's enormous. That's a thing. Because once the technician is doing the calibrations, doing the programming, doing the security, that's pretty much all they can do because they have to keep training and keep up to date and keep researching.
Is part of the limited liability issue the training and the latest equipment?
Well, I think the way that the lawsuits have gone is that if you're following OE procedures and you're following OE position statements and you're following the OE, using OE tools, at that point, you're as covered as you can be. And, but the other thing is that you've got to be able to document to prove, you know, years from now, maybe, that you followed on this particular day, because these procedures are changing sometimes day to day, sometimes hour to hour. So you need to be able to document all the research that you've done, and you've got to be able to do that research so that at a later point you can say, yes, here's the pictures, here's the information that we used, and this is how and why we did what we did on that car. And, you know, that is, to my knowledge, the best way, and it's, I think it's going to be industry standard, and I think that same sort of procedures are going to be coming into our regular repair shops as well.
Well, I have to say that there is no way in a short segment like this, Scott, we can do justice to this concept, the strategy, and I think we need to know more about this. I almost would love to pick your brain in a normal episode, but, you know, get into it a little deeper. I do love the idea that this is a B2B. And one of the crazy thoughts, Aiden, step in here anytime, but what crazy thought that I had was four or five or six shop owners getting together and building their own standalone technology place, if you can find a great, you know, partnership in a group, and invest in all of this and just send all your work there.
Right now, I think that's a great idea. And, you know, you would need, and that's about the right amount of shops, I think, to support a Level 5 style shop. And you've got to find, you know, because there's a lot of physical liabilities, like you've got to have a level facility. You know, 1 degree drop is all you can have. You've got to have 60 feet in front of the front bumper to do everything. You 30 feet, you'll do, you know, 90% plus. You need to have 15 feet on either side of the car in order to complete the calibration. So this is a, those level of spaces don't exist in our shops.
And, you know, and you're a market leader. You wanted to do this, but someday self-calibration is going to be here or there. And you may just look at that, you know, all that ADIS investment in 6-7 years and say, whoops.
You know, from what I've seen and from what our research tells us, the self-calibrating cars, that was like half a decade ago. And there are a lot of functions, and they call it dynamic calibration, you know, where you can drive them and calibrate them. It's going the other way. And, you know, where they require shops like ours in order to do the calibrations is much more common. But like I said, I don't see that as its own standalone business. You've got to be able to do these other things as well. And honestly, our shops, we need to be able to find a way to get these jobs done. Doesn't mean that we have to do it ourselves. It just means that somebody's got to be able to do these things for us. And now all of a sudden I can put on my shop on Cardinal Plaza's website that we do ADOS, that we do calibrations, that we do programming and key coding. Even though at Cardinal, I do none of those things. We refer all of that over to level five.
Yeah. I think it's a fascinating business strategy. That's why I wanted to have you on and talk about it. We've kind of run out of time, Scott, but I think we need to go into this a little deeper on a RRR episode. So thanks for being here, my friend. Good stuff.
Hey, I love it. And you always do such a great job of pulling information out of your guests, including me, that that's a good thing.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Give me the credit if you want. But you're a talker, and I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Awesome job, Scott.
Yeah, it was good. Everyone, all the episodes are archived on the website. Anytime you want to get to them, remarkableresults.biz, you'll see the you can either type in AW in your URL or just go to the Aftermarket Weekly page. You'll see everything there. And this Friday, we're going to play the long game. Are you in it for the long term, or are you in it for the short term? Great panel we have coming up this Friday as we start the Independence Weekend this Friday. Okay, I'm with Aidan McDonald and McDonald's ATS, Automatic Transmission Systems in Livingston, Montana. Yet, Aidan does all kinds of work at his place, and we've seen so many transmission shops actually make that major transition. And so we're going to check out. We've got a pre-recorded video, Aidan. We'd love to get the tour.
Awesome. So this is the customer entrance, panning off to the right there. That back row is employee parking. Front row is all customer drop-offs in the morning.
How many acres do you have there?
This is roughly 2.5.
2.5 acres. Do you own the property?
No, we're in a long-term lease that we are aggressively trying to get bought out on.
Okay, you're trying to buy the property.
We're trying to, yep.
Got it. Well, that's smart. I mean, I think everyone knows, own the land if you can.
Exactly.
Okay, and you're still a young man, so that would be a smart move.
Well, thank you. Okay, so this is coming in. Sanitary station.
Mascot.
We got the shop dog. So she snuck out on me when I first came in, but that's our pretty much our greeter. This is the incoming parts check-in desk. Keeps parts delivery guys out of the showroom area. This is general manager area. He's also my parts counter person. These are incoming parts for jobs that are in the shop.
Lots of parts.
Normal consumables.
Yep.
And we're heading down. So when the customer comes in, the greeter come down the hallway, and all the awards for technicians are on the right.
Excellent.
This is the actual customer waiting area, lounge. That's a service advisor, another service advisor station.
So you have a greeter, and they're actually written up and discussed in this room here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So right here, what these are, as parts come in, not always is the parts counter person there, so invoices may make it to the front counter. The left-hand bin is open parts that haven't been put on a ticket yet. Next slot down is they've been posted. End of day, we verify all the tickets. Work orders need closed. Those are jobs that have been completed. And then the advisor goes to an audit technician, which we will get to later on. But those sit here in that bin until audit technician signs off on it. Keys, as you can see on the right-hand side, that blue one is completed. Keys are in the envelope, ready for when the customer comes in and picks it up. Then completed tickets over on the right-hand side, ready, not ready. Those are a three-day callback. Very bottom bin goes into our receptionist, and at 21 days, we get another follow-up call.
Excellent. And you know, what's really cool, it's a perfect strategy for customer service, but just to see your process laid out here is pretty nice. Thanks.
So that's what that area is for. Oh, more. Every vehicle that comes in, we put a tag on the keys. That's our logo.
Do the colors mean anything?
Nope, not at all. So this board, we'll pause here. And I didn't pan up far enough, but these are confirmed appointments or night drops. So the day before the appointment, AutoVitals also texts out, but we do make a phone call to confirm the appointment coming in. Once the appointment is confirmed and coming in, it goes onto this board. It stays on this board until we do the digital walk-around inspection. Once the digital audit inspection is done, these are work in process.
Each bin is a vehicle?
Yes, each bin is a vehicle. They are only in those bins after the digital inspection.
Okay. Do you have a 100% rule on that?
100%. Yep. This is kind of a quick lounge area, coffee for the customers. One of the big things we changed here probably within about the last 5 years is we got rid of the shop look. This is all local artists. All the artwork is local artists. These little pictures here are my car giveaway program. We give away about 5 cars a year to people in need.
Kudos to you for doing that. Do you have a special name for it?
Nope, just part. Yes, there is, Carm. Park County Auto Program.
Okay.
Right now, we are 7 cars deep, and in 2 weeks, we're giving away another car.
That's awesome.
I love it. Absolutely love it.
More and more shop owners are really taking, putting their bite into the community for what they do.
I'm really proud of this one.
This is wonderful.
So that one we just passed up, quick blib.
Yeah.
That is a auto body shop that restored a 38 Dodge truck. They put my Allison standalone controller in it, and it was restored for a funeral procession car for first responders, firemen, and policemen. So we donated that whole system to get that vehicle up on the road. You guys should check it out. It's a beautiful, beautiful build.
Good for you. Good for you.
This is another lounge for the customers, water, juice. There's usually a chair there, but
it looks a little bit more private than that bigger area.
It is. Yeah. It is. So people can conduct business. These are trophies from our competition vehicles. And we're going to head out into the shop now. Here's the shop. That's my general manager right there. This is probably the single best investment I ever made for culture in my shop. This is a lounge, a training room, full kitchen. And what's really neat about this kitchen deal is 2 days a week, on average, the shop comes together. 2 members are designated the cook team, 2 members are designated the cleanup team, and we rotate. It started out as I picked who's together, and that was over a year ago. Now it's a volunteer program. We come together as a family. We eat. There's no business discussed. It's just culture.
Excellent. How many square feet is this building? It's huge.
18,000, I think, is okay. Where we're at.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, compared to what you have, Scott.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm so jealous.
The layout's not optimal. This was a rural electric building. It stored cabling, a lot of office. This is where customers came in and paid their power bill. But I think we've really optimized how we use it. It works for us.
Making the best of it.
Yep. So walking out into the shop area.
So give us the skinny, the number of bays, the number of techs.
We have 8 bays, 6 techs.
So does that mean you have 3 service advisors or 2?
We have 2 dedicated service advisors. The general manager will jump in when needed. Okay. That's my general manager right there. We try to clean the bays up at least once a day.
That's a great commitment. Is this building in the form of an L?
Not quite an L, okay. But close, yes. Okay. Yes, very close. Okay, we're coming in. That shop side we were just on was the flat bay side.
Yep.
Engine jobs, heavy work. This is the hoist side. This is a new investment in January. We got into alignments and tires.
Smart.
This is a technician trainer right here. This is a new tech that is being trained. We just hired him out of OTEC.
Good for you. You don't have an official apprentice program, but you have a commitment to the young people.
We've been apprenticing for a year, but now that ATI's got the apprentice program, we're fully signed up and we're going to follow suit.
Cool.
He started out as an apprentice 2.5 years ago, and he's now getting ready to graduate into B program.
Good for you.
This is one of my senior techs. we didn't get panned over to him. But that technician has been doing it for 35 years. He's been with me for 18 years. This is a new alignment hoist. And outside, I have two 18,000-pound hoists. All the vehicles down the left hand.
In Montana?
Yeah. Yeah, we can utilize them about 7 months a year.
Really?
Mm-hmm. These are outgoing transmissions. These are core returns. We ship all over the West. And now we're coming in on the back door. That room back there is where we keep the high-dollar inventory, injectors, turbos. It's locked up every night.
I see you have a camera system. How many cameras? Yep.
14 of them. Now, this desk right here, this is a new job position. This technician's been with me for over 26 years. He was at the Ford dealership before I opened business and followed us when we decided to open. He hurt his shoulder roughly 8 months ago and was pretty much told no more mechanicking. I was not going to kick him to pasture, so we create a position. I really don't have a perfect name for it, but he's my auditor. So every vehicle that gets completed, of course, the technician that did the job does a test drive, comes into his office, verifies notes, verifies parts, verifies procedures. Then he has his own inspection and does a final test drive, repapers the floor, steering wheel, seat. This is my office. This is where we do our YouTube broadcasts in my other business. So we broadcast the logo up on that TV. Mm-hmm. I stand in front of the toolbox and give instructional videos. But the audit technician finishes his test drive. That's when he keys it, envelopes it, puts it back up front, and lets the front end know it's good to figure.
So he's an ultimate quality control guy.
That's exactly what he is. Got and this it. Is my office. And we're going full circle to general manager. There's the receptionist back.
Got it.
Excellent. And that's full circle.
Excellent. Wow. What do you think, Scott?
I think I want to be Aiden. He's doing a wonderful job.
Thank you.
I just love the way you treat your people, and I love the way you're giving back to your community.
Yeah,
you
know, I appreciate it.
What an inspirational guy you are.
Yeah, we don't do enough high-fiving and recognition of the people like Aiden and everyone who works so closely with community. We have a great episode coming out soon on community, very much the same thing that you're doing, Aiden, in this the whole giving back thing. I think that's one of the most critical marks of the independence, that we're so damn willing to help out with that. Well, thank you so much, Aiden McDonald, McDonald's ATS in Livingston, Montana. Appreciate that. Guys, let's do our finish up here with our trivia. Harley Earl, he designed, invented the tail fin, but which iconic car was he the guy? Well, here's the answer. The Corvette. Harley Jarvis Earl was an American automotive designer and business executive. He was the initial designated head of the design at General Motors, later becoming vice president, the first top executive ever appointed in design of a major corporation in American history. Then there was a gentleman named Duntov, Zora Duntov. He was a Belgian-born American engineer whose work on the Chevrolet Corvette earned him the nickname Father of the Corvette. He is sometimes erroneously referred to as the inventor of the Corvette, whereas the title belongs to Harley Earl. Look at that fin, guys. In fact, back when you see them on TV and old TV shows, you know what I call them? I call them boats.
Yep.
I call them boats. And hey, what's going on next week? We have we've been talking about Craig O'Neill all week here, and he's going to come on and actually do a show with me in the guest host seat. And then Tiffany Sherrato from Lifetime Transmissions, another transmission shop in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. So much thanks to Scott Brown from Cardinal Shell and from Aiden McDonald. Guys, unbelievable, fascinating, great stuff from both of you, and continued success.
Thanks, Carm. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks for being here, guys.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.